Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Monday, morning. You all right? Are you though? I hope you are. I hope you had a good weekend. You're not sunburnt, are you? Good. Oh, lovely cup of tea. Me, yeah, I'm good. I'm all good, thanks. Yeah. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Rocking and rearing for the day ahead. I'm usually joined by my producer, Little Harry, aren't I? But not today. He's off again. That's like on Friday. I'm instead joined by Jack. How are you this morning, Jack?
I'm doing great, Bo. Lovely weather as always.
Good, yeah. Today's supposed to be another scorcher. Lovely. We don't recognise bank holidays here at the Loadseaters. Our work ethic is too strong. We're just too committed to you guys, the audience. I mean, we do take Christmas Day, Boxing Day, New Year's Day off. Other than that, we just simply don't recognise bank holidays. We're too good. We've got to bring you guys content. all right. So, but if you are not working today, which is we, the vast majority of people in the UK, I think in the US it's a bank holiday as well, isn't it? Anyway, do try and enjoy the day, enjoy the heat. I might talk about it a little bit later, but it's set to be in the 30s today, maybe even like 33, 34 degrees. For Britain, that's hot. People in Phoenix, Arizona, scoffing in derision. A mere 34 degrees. That's nothing, please. For us, that's hot. For us, that's a scorcher. For me, I get burned to a crisp if I go outside without suntan lotion on. Top of my head, top of my ears, bridge of the nose. Burned to a crisp within moments. It's the downside of being a Milky Bar kid. All right, should we stop faffing about? Just stop fanning about. You guys know who you are. You're the most band of chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. But should we just stop faffing about? Yeah, get on with it. What are you fanning about for, Bo? All right. So we've got... Harry, do you need to move the camera up a little bit so I'm more in? I called you Harry. Sorry, Jack. Force of habit. We'll recenter thing. It's the other camera there. There you go. Slight technical difficulties. All right, there we are. Boom. Brilliant. Thanks. All right, what have we got today? What's that legacy corporate mainstream media banging on about? What are they trying to lie to you by omission, if nothing else? We've got, I don't make bad deals. That's Mr. Trump. Trump doesn't make bad deals, you know. And now you're gonna believe us. That's to do with Arsenal. A little bit of sports ball today. I'll make it brief because I know... The Glorious Band, The Chosen Few, O'Day's Band of Brothers, are not particularly interested in football, sports ball, soccer. So I'll keep it brief. That's the Gunners. That's Arsenal, North London Football Club. Now you're going to believe us. All right, should we get into it? The Times, the venerable Times. All right, should we get the sports ball out of the way? There's two sports ball stories, basically. One of them was that West Ham, my team, East London, my team, West Ham, The Hammers, forever blowing bubbles, got relegated. They did. They got relegated down the league. Shame. Real shame. Womp, womp. Shows how much I care about football these days. I actually don't really... I was like, when I heard, I was like, oh, well. I wasn't profoundly gutted. The 15, 16-year-old me would have been profoundly upset by that. Well, I was. They got relegated two or three times when I was younger. I've never been relegated before. It's not our first rodeo. Shame, though, because it could have been at the expense of Spurs, Tottenham, North London scum. They survived and we got relegated. Oh, well. All right, no more sports ball. That's enough sports ball. We'll have no sports ball here. All right. Trump, no need to rush Iran peace, he's saying now. I thought he was going to end their civilization. I thought he was going to erase them from the map. I thought they had like 24 hours and then another 24 hours. No, there's no rush now. He doesn't make bad deals, so calm down. There's no rush now, apparently. All right. So I'm saying, though, I mean, it would be nice, wouldn't it, if there was a diplomatic resolution rather than innocent people, innocent Persians getting burnt alive and blown to pieces. It would be better, wouldn't it? Some of the stories we'll see are talking about the price of oil that's gone down on the hope of a peace deal. It has a bit. Should we have a quick look in with the oil price? Has a bit. Yeah, look, West Texas down at about $90 a barrel. Brent, about 97. So it is down, isn't it, from all last week? A bit. Never went crazy, did it, really? Remember, I keep saying the price of a barrel of crude, broadly speaking, on average, before this war started, was something like $78 a barrel. West Texas right now at $90 a barrel. So, all right, make of that what you will. It doesn't translate, does it, really, into what you end up paying at the pump, which is the worst of it, isn't it? All right. For some reason, they've decided to go with a little bit of Tay-Tay this morning. A little bit. Taylor Swift went to some sort of a sports ball game. Was it basketball? I don't even know. She went to a sports ball game. And her husband, who is an American football player, isn't he? He chugged a beer and then he fell asleep and she left early. That's news. Apparently, that's news. Okay. Okay. Money for parents to spur young into work. This is a bit of an odd story. I find this story odd. Make this make sense. It's so weird. I feel like I'm missing something about it, but I don't think I am. Let me tell you the details. Labour, like all governments, want people to work, really. Although, do they? Socialist ones would rather you're just completely dependent on the state, so they can control you. But most governments at least pretend that they want people to always work. So if nothing else, they've got smaller benefit bills. This story, money for parents to spur young into work. Families on benefits could get hundreds of pounds a month. So make it make sense. The story says the government could give families money that are already on benefits, give them more money, more benefits, so that they don't encourage their children to get on benefits. I'm sorry, what now? That some families, you know, they realise that it's just better not to work for them. If they worked in a really low-paid job, it's they actually just get more money by not working. That should never, ever, ever be the case, but it is sometimes. And if those families are sort of locked into that cycle for years on end, they might pass that sentiment, that idea, that sort of concept of how to live your life in the world, they might just pass that on to their kids. Like the kids are 16 and 17, they should really be in education or an apprenticeship. And the families say, don't do that, just sign on. And the government says, don't tell your kids that. Don't encourage them that way. We'll give you money to not do that. We'll give you more benefits to not do that. Am I missing something? I don't think I'm missing something. That's what they're talking about. It's more about the redistribution of wealth, isn't it? That's what the socialists like. That's what our socialist government are about. We'll just pretend we're about work, hardworking people, getting people into work. But what we really want is the redistribution of wealth. No matter how unfair, no matter how uncrazy that is. We just tax rich people and the middle class. And even working class people that have got a tiny amount of money, the kulaks, tax them endlessly into oblivion and smear it out among indolent people, lazy people. And we'll call that the redistribution of wealth, and we'll pretend that's not exactly what we're doing. Mad. All right. Tay-Tay and her beer-swilling, lazy husband. This is a story, interesting story today, slightly interesting story anyway, maybe. Russia jams RAF jet with minister on board. So yeah, not just any minister, the defence minister. What's his name? John Healey, isn't it? Is Healey? Yeah, John Healey. The defence minister of the United Kingdom. He was on some sort of trip to Estonia, where we've got NATO, but British, mainly British in this case, got a few thousand soldiers deployed in Estonia. It is only a few thousand. I can't remember the exact numbers, like 2,000, 4,000, something like that. I think we're going to put a few more in there as well. Okay. There was some NATO, really British troops, in Estonia, and they were doing some sort of exercise, like right on the Russian border. Bit belligerent, isn't it? Whenever there's stories, you might see, well, this very story, sorry, where the Russians are doing something really belligerent, like going right up to the limit of something that's truly aggressive, right up to the limit of that, and we get crazy, we moan about it. It's like, no, both sides are doing that. Both sides are doing that all the time. Oh, what, Russia's done a really belligerent thing? Weren't we conducting NATO operations right on the, exercises, right on their border, though? Both sides are doing it. Okay. So John Healey was in Estonia to see that, to look at that. And on his flight back in an RAF plane, not a fast jet, an RAF plane. And it's like some sort of, it signals in some way, like it's GPS or something, got jammed by the Russians. We can only assume it was by the Russians. It wasn't in any real danger, I don't believe. Well, it certainly landed fine and no one was hurt or anything. The pilots and stuff just had to use another form of navigation to land safely. But nonetheless, on some level, it was jammed. Only one man dare give John Healey raspberry. Mr. Putin and his jamming. He jammed him. All right. Spaceballs reference there. Anybody? No? Jack, have you ever watched Spaceballs? Is that too old? Am I being a boomer?
I watched it when I was like 11.
There you go. There'll be a few zoomers out there. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. A few people in their 40s and older will be like, yeah, Spaceballs. Not if we jam it. I like Spaceballs. All right. The Guardian. Ugh. Why are you doing that? Don't do that. Dear The Guardian. Don't do that. Don't exist, please, if you don't mind. Barry Manilow is saying that the knickers that get thrown at him these days are bigger now. Because he's old now and all his fans will be old. Get it? I'm something of a fanalo myself. Not that I fancy him, I throw my knickers at him, not that. He's got a few good songs, that's all I'm saying. Calm down. A couple of good songs, all right? US close to peace deal with Iran as Trump faces fury from own party. Is he close to a peace deal? Is he? I doubt it. I doubt that. Over the weekend, all sorts of people saying different things. Some like really pro-Trump people, even Marco Rubio, saying we're close to a deal. Some like people that are a little bit more impartial, like some American general on Fox News saying, oh, it's probably 50-50. And then a lot of other people saying, no, let's be realistic. No, like, that's my feeling at this point. I don't feel like the Iranians are going to make a deal. They'll just play for time like they've always done. Just play for time. What else have they got? They insist they're not going to give up their ability to enrich uranium to a weapons grade level. Now, I might be wrong, right? It might come out today. They might be releasing a press release right now, for all I know, saying, yeah, we completely give up. will let the IAEA and the Israelis and the American scientists come to anywhere they want in Iran and check exactly what we're doing and continuously allow them to do that, to show 100% full hangout. We're not enriching uranium. I've got no intentions anymore of ever doing that ever again. And you can go and dig out our stockpiles of it that are now trapped under a mountain at Isfahan or Fordo or wherever it was. We'll just let you do that. Iran could come out and say that and do that, couldn't they? I doubt it, though. I sort of doubt that. If I'm wrong, and in the coming hours or days or weeks, Iran does do exactly that, then of course I'll put my hands up and say, look, I called it wrong. Remember, I kept saying I didn't think that would happen, and now it has. All right, I was wrong. Fair enough. But honestly, in all seriousness now, in all seriousness, I don't see Iran doing that. So, US close to peace deal with Iran, are they? Are they? Isn't that just real cope, really? Wishful thinking from Trump and Rubio. We'll see. All right. This is an odd story, slightly odd story. Disillusioned. The mood in Russia turns against Putin. And then the story is just some sort of quite weird story where Putin took one of his old school teachers that he really liked to dinner one time. Weird, bit of a weird story. Let's just move on. Here's a more interesting story. Pressure on Farage to prove hack claim. So this is a little bit in the story, a little bit in the news cycle this morning. You know, Farage got given that 5 million quid by that crypto billionaire, Christopher something or other. Farage now says that the only reason anyone knows about that, because it was, as far as I understand, as far as everyone's saying, it truly was just an interpersonal gift. There's no reason why anyone would ever even know it happened. Farage didn't declare it anywhere. So unless you've got access to Farage's bank account, like his actual personal bank account, or perhaps access to his messages, his own private personal Percy messages on his phone, how would you even know? Okay. Well, Farage is saying that he got hacked and that it was the Russians. The Russians hacked Farage, Farage is saying now, or alleging. Might be true, might not. I mean, at first blush, sounds a bit like, yeah, right, bro. But it could well be true, though. Having said that, I want to be quick to say, it could well be true. It's not beyond the realms of possibility, is it? Put it that way. It's totally not beyond the realms of possibility. Yeah, he's saying like sort of some sort of Russian-backed agents, Russian-backed interests hacked his phone. Counter-espionage experts. Russian ones. Hacked Nyagy's phone and then released the information that he got 5 million quid. I mean, Reform have had their dealings with Russian intelligence services in the past, haven't they? When I say dealings, I'm talking about that guy, Gill. Was it Nathan Gill? Nathan Gill? I'm not saying, when I say had their dealings with, I'm not suggesting Farage is in the pocket of the Russians or anything, but that Nathan Gill was, wasn't he? Anyone remember this? Do you remember this? It's not that long ago. There's a guy called Nathan Gill. I think that was his name. Certainly his surname was Gill. And he was an MEP for UKIP, I believe, wasn't it? He was an MEP for UKIP. And then he was like, I think, leader of UKIP in Wales. And then I think he, apologies if I get any of these details slightly wrong. It's in good faith if I've got any of these details slightly wrong. I think this is the story. He was leader of UKIP in Wales. Then he went over to Reform. So, of course, Nigel, you know, UKIP. Reform, Nigel. He went over to Reform and was the leader of Reform in Wales. And then was criminally convicted full-blown criminal conviction, not just rumours, not just scuttled about, not just like... He was completely convicted of taking money from Russia to, you know, spin a pro-Russian narrative in what? In like that Welsh devolved parliament and in the media. He became an actual paid shill for Russia. The leader of reform in Wales. I mean, it was only relatively briefly, I think. It was only for like 6 months or less, even. He was the leader of reform in Wales. But still, we got 10 and a half years in jail as well. It wasn't like, oh, you did this slightly misdemeanor thing. It is criminal, but in the scheme of things, it's not that much of a big deal. You only really did something that was relatively minor. Here's a 3-month suspended sentence. No, he got 10 and a half years. I don't talk about that much, do they? I thought that was interesting. When that happened, and all that played out not that long ago, right? What, a year ago, something like that, less? When that happened, I thought, well, the mainstream media, all the corporate mainstream media that have got TDS, like the Mirror or whatever, they'll go to town on this. They won't let this go for news cycle after news cycle after news cycle. They'll bring that up at every opportunity they will. Oh, God, this is terrible, terrible politically, optically for reform. But they don't really ever talk about it, do they? I bet there's some people who's watching this who've not even heard of that. I bet you. That's weird, isn't it? That they try and take down Farage at any given opportunity, any tiny little thing, they'll try and make a big deal out of it. They've got Farage derangement syndrome, but they don't talk about that one, like ever, like hardly ever. When was the last time you saw any sort of headline or mention of Nathan Gill and the Russian connection? That's odd to me, isn't it? I find that odd. Right. 10 and a half years for being paid by Russia. Like in the pocket of the Russian intelligence services. Oh, we should talk. It's just one more thing we won't talk about. What? One more thing. Remember, guys, don't talk about what Epstein really was, yeah? Or when he was on Rothschild's boat. Yeah, don't talk about that, yeah. Don't talk about those Ukrainian rent boys and the arson case. Don't mention Nathan Gill and reforms, the 10 and a half year conviction for being in the pocket of the Russian intelligence services, the reform leader in Wales. Don't talk about that every day, yeah? Got it. All right, so the point is, it's not completely inconceivable that Russia, for whatever reason, God knows what's going on, what kind of 4D chess is going on here, for whatever reason, did hack Nigel's phone. Again, at first blush, you might think, yeah, right, okay, Nigel, yeah, it was the Russians. Yeah, the Russians hacking your phone, sure, bro, sure. But if you think about it for a moment, like, no, that's totally plausible. That's totally plausible. All right, well, that's the story. We'll move on. Bit of a weird one, isn't it? All right. Okay, the Financial Times. Kiev hit hard. Russian blitz pounds capital. Yeah, the Russians and the Ukrainians still... The other day, wasn't it? At the end of last week, there was a story in the news cycle how the Ukrainians had done quite a big strike in Moscow, right in Moscow. Quite a few drones and things, Ukrainian ones, falling on Russia, deep inside Russia. It's usually the other way around, though, isn't it, to be perfectly honest? When there's a big wave of things blowing up somewhere in Ukraine or Russia, it's usually Ukraine on the receiving end. Well, here's another one. I mean, what is there to say? Both sides are completely adamant that they won't give up control of the Donbass region, aren't they? I mean, I could talk about how most of the people there are ethnically Russian, Russian-speaking, want to be Russia, part of Russia. I could talk about that, but then I get accused of being a Putin stooge. Lotuses get accused of taking money from the Kremlin. Talking about reality, you must be a stooge. Or you're anti-Ukraine in some way, one of the most corrupt governments in the world, if not the most corrupt government in the world. Oh, you must be a stooge for the other side. Okay. Yeah, right. All right. Trump warns US will not rush into peace deal with Iran as talks drag on. Push to extend fragile ceasefire. It's not a ceasefire. It's not really a ceasefire, is it? Iran's still firing stuff off. Yeah, a bit. America, when they feel they need to, will just blow stuff up. So it's not really a ceasefire. But okay, we're going to extend we're going to call it a fragile ceasefire. It's a fragile ceasefire, don't you know? And we're going to extend it. Get into the realms of true nonsense, aren't we? True nonsense, where words don't really mean anything. Through the looking glass. Tehran's nuclear goals in focus. Now they're in focus. It boils down to Israel and the United States by proxy. Refuse to let Iran have highly enriched uranium. And Iran refuse to not do that. So what are you going to do? It's an impasse, isn't it? Republican Party hawks hit out. Okay, do they? All right. We've got the Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph. The other, I said there was two sports ball stories, wasn't I? Real quick then, super quick, the other one. Arsenal, North London. Big rivals of Tottenham, actually. They won the Premier League like a week ago. That's it, really. At the weekend, this coming weekend, Saturday, I believe, Saturday the 30th, is the Champions League final, the biggest trophy, the biggest game it's possible to have in domestic football, outside of an international tournament. The most prestigious thing is the UEFA Champions League. And Arsenal are in it. Are they playing Paris? PSG? Paris Saint-Germain? Anyway, Arsenal are in it. So that would be a remarkable thing if they won the Premier League and the Champions League in the same season. That's it. I'll move on. That's all I'll say. No more sports ball. Don't worry about it. That's all. Okay. Arsenal on top of the world. West Ham got relegated. Okay. Iran to give up uranium for peace, says US. Are they, though? I hope to be proved wrong. That would be nice. I would rather Iran just go, okay, all right, okay. We'll stop enriching uranium and we'll let international inspectors in to make sure we're not doing it. Okay, we give up, we blink. You got it. That would be nice. I don't think it's going to happen. Strait of Hormuz to be reopened, but deal does not address Tehran's missile stocks. It's going to be hard to reach a deal with them. Is it not? Not nigh on impossible. Both sides want the exact opposite from each other, don't they? All right, here's a story I think is interesting, or definitely interesting for Restore people, Restore Britain people, like us, like me. And I know a vast swathe of the audience of the Bow Show are the same on board. We've done polls before. A little bit of a story here where the legacy corporate mainstream media, The Telegraph, talk about Rupert Lowe and Restore a little bit. For one of the first times on the front page. The headline reads, Farage, Musk, Elon Musk, risks splitting a right vote in by-election. Oh. Poor reform. Poor reform. Don't want the right vote to be split. You've got to win elections by your own merits. Yeah, we're not going to stand down. We're not going to stand aside. You win it on your own merits or don't. Your party and leader and politics are so great, you can win on your own merits, can't you? You want us to stand down. Why don't you stand down? If you're worried about Burnham getting in that by-election so much, you stand down and Restore will beat him. You don't want to do that, do you? Stand down. Splitting the vote. There's no vote splitting. Rupert Lowe and Restore are actually a nativist patriotic party and... Reform are just more uni-party containment slot. So, and not right-wing at all, not remotely. So there's no splitting of the right-wing vote because Reform isn't right-wing. There's no splitting of the vote amongst nativist parties that actually want to act in the interests of this nation because Restore's the only one that's doing that. There's no real difference between, real difference between Reform and all the other parties. It's all uni-party slop. So, but Musk is, because Elon Musk retweeted Rupert Lowe. And he just said, restore Britain. Musk did. Now Farage is crying about it. Let me get my tiny pipette for capturing the tears, the individual tears of Reform voters and the Reform leadership. Let me collect all the tears in a tiny pipette. Put them in a cup until I can cheers it and chug it on the day of the election result. Reform constantly complaining that Restore is splitting the vote. Don't care. Well, you let Burnham in. Don't care. Don't care. I don't care if it's Starmer or Burnham. Doesn't make much odds. Doesn't make much difference. They're all political enemies. Like Burnham's going to be significantly better or worse than Starmer. No, it'll be basically the same. Basically, so you can't let Burnham in. Why not? Why not? Don't care. You've got to stand aside for Reform. No, we don't. No, we don't. Get used to that. Deal with it. Reform would have won if it wasn't for Restore. Yeah, maybe, probably, quite possibly. Oh, well. You should have won fair and square entirely on your own merits then. If a decent chunk of the electorate, 7%, whether it's 25% or 7%, whatever it is, well, you lost those voters because you didn't appeal to them enough. That's your problem. That's your problem. So a quick thing to say then is that some of the polling was saying that Restore was getting something like 7% at the moment in this by-election. Probably something like 7%. Their own actual research, where they knocked on three times as many doors, their own data is three times better than that data, saying Restore's at 7%, said Restore is more at like 24, 25%. So it's not just a two-horse race between Labour and Reform in Makerfield. It's squarely a three-horse race. And Nigel's gutted about it, upset about it. Elon Musk, at least on Twitter, signalled his support for Mr. Lowe and Restore Britain. Nigel's butthurt about that. Oh, well. Gutted. Yeah, and so in this article, they do actually mention Rupert Lowe and Restore. There you go. They actually talk about it. Nigel's line at the moment is basically that Restore is just, what is it? It's like a one-man, it's a one-man show. Restore is just a one-man party with a media account. Cope harder, Nige. Keep huffing that copium. We've got 130,000, 140,000 members. Is it more? I don't even know exactly. It's well over 130,000 members. Getting hundreds of volunteers out on the streets. Got as many, if not more, volunteers, people in real life turning up to Makerfield and knocking on doors, giving out leaflets, talking to people, canvassing, the whole nine yards. Keep telling yourself that Restore is a one-man show with a media account. Keep telling yourself that. Yeah, keep underestimating it. Living in denial, Nigel. You're living in absolute denial. That's what happens, isn't it? At first they ignore you. At first they ignore you, then they ridicule you, then they attack you. And then you win. Because Reform is milquetoast containment, CivNat nonsense, really, isn't it? It's just more uni-party crap. Liars and liars and liars. Here you go, have Robert Jenrick again. Didn't you flood us with Afghans, Robert Jenrick? His name was Wayne Broadhurst, Robert. There you go, have Suella Breverman again. Have Raoul and Suella Breverman again. Didn't you flood us? Didn't you get us invaded, Suella? There you go, have Zadim Nukhari, or whatever his name is. Have that foreign Iraqi dude that was in the Tory government that got us invaded. Here you go. Have Zia Yusuf. Have a Sri Lankan Muslim man as your Home Secretary. There you go. No, I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that. Have Nigel that gloats about how remigration isn't possible and how anyone to the right, how he's spent his entire political career destroying anyone that's 1 inch to the right of him. No, not interested. No, we'll fight against that, actually. And we won't stand down because you want us to stand down, because it's in your interest for us to just stand aside. No. Usually parties don't just stand aside. When Nigel in, what, 2019, when it was the one where Boris and Corbyn went head-to-head, Nigel just stood the Brexit party down. You think that that's normal, that parties do that? I mean, of course they do sometimes, but it's rare. It's really rare, is my point. But, oh, some parties that are slightly similar thinking, one will stand down in favour of the other one. Why don't Restore do that in favour of reform? Because that's largely not done. Largely not done. When Nigel did that in 2019, that was a massive betrayal of all the people that were in that Brexit party. A giant, giant betrayal. And unbelievable. One of the main reasons why a lot of people fell out of love with Nigel, because like we spent loads of energy and time on the Brexit party. We was gearing up some. You told us this was a real thing. And now you just cut the legs entirely out of it. Just hacked the legs entirely out of it at the last moment. And that's weird. That's weird. Well, at this point, Rupert's supposed to go, oh, it is a close race between reform and Labour. And, you know, we don't want to hurt Andy Burnham's career. So I'll just chop the legs out of everyone that's doing everything in Makerfield for Restore. No, that would be mad. That would be stupid and mad. Why would he? Why would we do that? Nigel thinks Restore is a one-man show. It's just one man and his media account. Okay. How's the view from denial? All right. Well, here's a horrible story. I'll get onto it because some of the other front pages talk about it. It says, rape victim, jail let off was like a rock to my face. Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible story. It's in a lot of the websites. Look, Starmer appalled by case of boys spared jail after raping teenage girls. PM, oh no, it's something else. The story is over a lot of the news. The story is that three boys, and they were only young, like they were 14 or 15, and one was like 13 at the time. And they were like, I think they were like travellers or something. Or like a travelling community type folk, somewhere in the middle of England. I can't remember where. Hampshire, was it? Something like that. And they raped more than one girl. Oh, and filmed it on their phones. And the judge let them off. The judge just let them go. I thought it was on one of the front pages here. I'm afraid not. Okay, so, all right. Horrific, isn't it? Horrific. Because they were so young, the judge said, in fact, let's talk about it in a little bit more detail. There's an article here. Let's read the article a bit. The Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, has described a case in which three teenage boys were spared custodial sentences over the rape of two girls as appalling. He added that it was right that the sentences given by a judge at Southampton Crown Court were being reviewed by the Attorney General, because the Department of Justice or the Home Office can, if they want to, look at any given sentence and be like, no, that's too much or too little or too much, and we're going to review it. In this case, okay, two girls, then aged 15 and 14, were raped in separate instances in Fordingbridge, Hampshire, in November 2024 and January 2025 by two 14-year-olds. Another boy, then 13, was also convicted for his involvement in the second attack. So Keir said the girls have shown extraordinary bravery and strength in heinous circumstances. At a sentencing hearing for the boys on Thursday, Judge Nicholas Rowland said he wanted to quote, avoid criminalising these children unnecessarily. Are you out of your mind, Nick? Hey, Nicky boy, are you out of your mind? How are you a judge? You should never be allowed to sit in court again. Judge Nicholas Rowland. Why did you want to avoid criminalising them? What do you mean unnecessarily? They committed rapes, like it was more than one as well. Like at one point I read something, they left court with like 11 convictions between them. These are monstrous. All right, call them children. All right, they were 14 and 15 at the time. But these are monstrous human beings. How can you just let them out into the general population again? It's monstrous. They were luring girls to remote areas, raping them and filming it on their phones. Not just once, many times. But you want to avoid criminalising them unnecessarily. Judge Nicholas Rowland, are you mad, bruv? Are you out of your mind? What are you doing? What do you think you're doing? That's disgusting. That's sickening, Nick. That's sickening. You shouldn't be a judge. You should not be a judge. Your judgment is diabolical. That's no judgment. Instead, the boys were given youth rehabilitation orders, community sentences given to children, which can include unpaid work, curfews, or a requirement to undertake treatment. These young lads should be banged up for a long time. Judge Nicholas Rowland. He should be struck off, whatever the equivalent of that is. Disbarred. Should be disbarred. How is that's this person a judge? But one of their victims told the BBC's Sunday with Lawrence Koenigsberg programme that the decision was like a rock straight in my face. Yeah, imagine that. Imagine you've gone through that and you've gone through the trial and everything, having to relive it. And the judge goes, the boys, they can effectively go free. Oh, a youth rehabilitation order. What? These are dangerous, dangerous people. Dangerous. Like, Judge Nicholas Rowland. The girl, now 16, said, it almost made it seem as if what the boys did was not okay, but it was okay in the eyes of the law because they were still children. She and her family want the sentencing to be changed and the boys sent to jail, saying the sentences amounted to a slap on the wrist. Why did I sit and put myself through the pain of going to court, going through a trial, reliving everything because of evidence and watching it all happen again? The girl said, yeah, quite right. The teenager was 15 when she was raped in an underpass by the River Avon. Let me find one of the things the judge said. All right, okay. At the sentencing, the judge stressed, Nicholas Rowland, stressed the seriousness of the crimes. Okay, yeah, right, yeah, very serious crimes. Short of murder, perhaps the worst crime you could possibly imagine. The seriousness of the crimes, and said the filming of the assaults made them more serious. Yeah. That's not just barbaric, that's going into a realm of for my sensibilities, insanity. On top of everything, you're going to film it. Oh, and they post it on social media. Yeah. These are monsters, monsters. He also praised the boys for how they had behaved during the trial. What are you doing? What's going on in your mind? What world are you looking out on with those eyes? What? How is this person a judge? The Attorney General will have 28 days to decide whether the sentences should be referred to the Court of Appeal. Yeah, there was something else the judge said. I can't find it here. Okay, I don't want dead air. But the judge just said, you know, like the boys. Okay, you get the main details of it. You get the main details of it. These children should have been put in, you know, one of those, what we used to call a ball stall, right? Because you don't go to full prison until you're an adult, 18. So you go to some sort of special child care detention facility thing. All right, you go there then until you're 18, and then you serve the rest of your hopefully very long sentence in a normal jail. Don't just give them some sort of court order, a youth rehabilitation order, maybe a bit of community service, and then off you go back off into the world. It beggars belief, doesn't it? Judge Nicholas Rowland. That's no justice. That's no kind of justice. You've done a terrible thing there. You've flown in the face of justice. When you're thinking about the girls, when you're thinking about the general public, that these kids, these boys, young men, might do this again. You just let them out into the general population again. They did it many times and filmed it. You realise you're dealing with little monsters, psychos, absolute psychos. Judge Nicholas Rowland, get a clue, mate. Get a clue. How could he? How could that judge come to that conclusion? It's going to praise those boys for sitting quietly in court. What? All right, I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on because that's just too infuriating. It's a nice day. It's a nice day. That's plenty of black pill for one day. Mad. Oh. Makes me sick. In Bowes Britain, if I was at the Department of Justice or the Home Office, wherever it was, I would remove that judge. I would make sure he never sat in judgment in another case ever, ever again. If there's any mechanism to charge him with dereliction of duty or something. Maddening, insane thing. All right, the eye paper. They talk about Manson, a little bit about Mandy. Embarrassing texts to expose ministers' cozy relationship with Mandelson. Tranche of messages will reveal how ministers, quote, sucked up, quote, to a disgraced peer, Lord Mandelson, exchanging cozy texts that are likely to humiliate government. Second wave of Mandelson files into peer's controversial appointment as US ambassador are due to be published next week, putting pressure on Keir Starmer. PM has been facing serious questions after Mandelson's security vetting was rushed through, despite warnings over a relationship with billionaire paedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Insiders say the messages will provide embarrassing rather than bring down the government. Will prove embarrassing rather than bring down the government, as allies cast doubt on whether Starmer will fight leadership challenge. Pardon me. Right. So this second tranche of Mandelson files is set to, probably, I imagine, from these reports, just show that everyone, perhaps from Keir himself down, just thought of Mandelson, Peter Mandelson, as like a godfather of the Labour Party, a big beast, and then some, perhaps the biggest of beasts, you know, a grandee. A party grandee. If you want something done, if you want your career to progress, you have to suck up to Mandelson. You have to be a sycophant to Mandelson. You have to do what he wants, say what he wants you to say, peddle policies he wants, all that stuff. It's often how parties work, right? The big, most powerful people in it, if you don't do what they want, you don't get anywhere. And that one of the guys at the absolute tippity top of that tree was Mandy. who now, it seems, was a traitor, complete traitor. Right? Let's be honest about this. It's not just he was friends with Epstein, was it? Right? It's not just that he would occasionally use one of Epstein's Parisian apartments and walk around in his pants. It's a bit more than that, isn't it? A bit more than that. It's that he passed him sensitive information, insider government information, even sometimes market sensitive information. That's what, there's a word for that. It's called being a traitor. It's called having your allegiance to a foreign agent rather than your own government. That's what that's called. And that everyone in Labour, probably, we'll see what actually comes out. Everyone in Labour just sucked up to him and did whatever he wanted. Well, that's Labour for you. A den of scumbags. Absolute scumbags. The Daily Mail. Utter subversive globalist slop trying to wear the skin suit of something that's patriotic sometimes. There's Tay-Tay. Tay-Tay left early. What triggered Tay-Tay's swift exit? Don't care. Right. As thug who left battered officer for dead is freed after less than 3 months, rank and file of the police blasts Labour's early release reforms. Soft justice makes police caretakers for criminals. Yeah. Some guy battered a police officer, left him for dead, was sentenced to 3 years... and has been let out after 3 months. What are we doing here? What are we doing here, people? It's because communists and socialists always do this sort of thing. Throughout history, when you look at what happens when a true communist government gets into power, they quite often just empty their jails. That's weird. What are you talking about, Bo? Have a look at history. One example, let me think, just off the top of my head. All right. Spain, the Spanish Civil War, which Franco ultimately won. But in the communist controlled areas of Spain during that civil war, the communists will often actually just seize control, open all the jails and just let all the criminals out. Because they'll cause chaos, won't they? That causes chaos, doesn't it? And that's what communists like. They don't like safe societies with high trust. That's not in their interest to have that. Imagine a criminal that battered a cop near to death, left him for dead, and that you get sentenced to 3 years. Again, in Bo's Britain, that's a sort of crime that you go to prison for a long time and you don't get out until you're an old man. You don't get out until you're an old man because you can't be trusted. Surely you can't be trusted. You wait until you're old and you're not inclined to do something like that again because you're an old man now. That's the correct punishment for something like that, not 3 years. Let him out after 3 months. 3 months. There's something terribly wrong, isn't there? Something terribly wrong with our justice system, with our country, with our government, the Home Office. Something profoundly and terribly wrong. The Mirror, complete slop. Some of the very, very worst slop on Fleet Street. The Mirror. Oh, look, they're going with Niage and the Russians. Farage's astonishing leak claim as more question raised about his finances. Russian spies, for real, Nige? They ask. They're going with the angle that Nige is just like making it up because they hate Nige, right? I'm no fan of Nige, but I want to at least try to be like not completely suffering from Farage derangement syndrome. They're going with the angle that Nige is just making it up. It's pure whole cloth nonsense from Nige. And it may be, but I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't. I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't at all. But they're just going with, is it? Like, yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, it was Russian spies, is it? What do you know? The Mirror. The Mirror doesn't know more than you or I, really. Exactly what went on. Exactly what went on with Nigel and his finances, and Christopher Harborne and potential alleged Russian espionage. I don't know. But yet they'll go with the angle that Nigel's just making it up. Astonishing claims. For real, Nigel? The Mirror. Slop. Absolute slop. All right, The Express, The Daily Express. It's a good paper. It's not, I'm being sarcastic. That's an Alan Partridge reference. Many stores in Britain's shopping areas are simply fronts for illegal activities. You don't say. Really? Wow, what a revelation. Breaking news. Read all about it. Amazing scoop from The Express. A lot of the shops in Britain are just fronts for illegal activities, yeah. Criminals are taking over our high street. Well, have taken over, is what you mean. Not are going to take over or are in the process of taking over. No, they have already. Violent criminal gangs are taking over high streets using a number of Turkish barbers and vape shops as brazen fronts for illegal activities, experts have warned. Experts? Well, you mean anyone with a set of eyeballs is what you mean? Well, like it's difficult to notice this, like it's surreptitious, like it's easy to miss, like it's... You can't fail to notice, can you? But experts have warned. An explosion of, quote, dodgy, quote, shops has transformed routine independence and suspicious... Sorry. It's just too small for my eyes. I need to get that monocle, don't I? Shops have transformed routine inspection and suspicious premises into volatile confrontations where enforcement officers come face-to-face with organised crime. Yeah, whenever they try and do anything about it. The organised criminals that just run these vape shops and barber shops just immediately get violent with them. Council staff risk being assaulted, spat at, locked in stores and having their vehicles damaged by those involved in criminal activity, criminal networks. Yeah, yeah. All I can tell you is that if I had my way, I would go to war with all of this. I would spend as much political capital and treasure as needed to cut this cancer out of our country. I'd go full Elliot Ness. I'd go full anything it takes, fearlessly. No, I'd lock horns with them. Take them on everywhere. Take them on everywhere you find it. 100%. Never, ever back down. Chin up, chest out. We're taking you on and we're taking you down at every opportunity. Spend loads of money and time and energy and political capital on it. Instead, we get the government going, there's been a few headlines, so we'll throw £30 million at it, i.e. hardly anything. Oh, the corporate legacy mainstream media are talking about it a bit now. We'll arrest a few individuals when the BBC or the Daily Mail or something, when they've pointed to an individual one, we'll arrest that person and then we'll throw £30 million at it and that's it. That's nowhere near good enough, is it? That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. It's like they want it. It's difficult to come to any other conclusion that they want it. Oh, it's nearly 9 a.m. I've just noticed. Well, I'm not recording today. I can go over. Give an extra 20 minutes, half hour even. Don't say I'm not generous. The Sun. We're getting towards the end of it. The Sun. Let the Hammers. West Ham got relegated. Bit gutted, to be honest, but... It's happened before. Wagatha Rao. This is pure slop, so I'll just give you a few seconds. Here's the front page of The Sun, one of the biggest selling papers in Britain. These two women, who are absolute vapid nobodies, these two women whose only claim to fame is that they're married to football players, both of which are now retired. Wayne Rooney's retired, isn't he? He's been retired for a while now. He's big and fat now, isn't he? Can't remember if it does Vardy play anymore. Can't remember. Anyway, these are WAGs, which stands for, what is it, wives and girlfriends. They're just married to football players or ex-football players. They had a tiff years ago. One of them accused the other one of something, and the other one took the other one to court for libel, and one of them lost. Jamie Vardy's wife, this one, lost a libel case. Anyway. Is it Rebecca Vardy then? Is that her name, Becky? Becky, say sorry to Colleen Rooney, Wayne Rooney's missus. Say sorry. And she says, no, I won't say sorry. All right, that's it. That's it. That's all I'm going to do. That's all I'm going to say. It's complete slop. Complete slop. Don't need to know anymore. The Daily Star, again, pretty sloppy. Won't bother spending more than a few seconds on it. This house, no one's lived in it for 60 years. It's just sat empty for 60 years. But there is a housing crisis. The Daily Star want to shine a spotlight on that. They've invoked Sherlock Holmes. Their investigative journalism is on a par with Mr. Holmes. There's not enough housing in Britain, but yet this house is empty. All right, there you go. They've called it the Adams Family Semi-Detached House. All right, pure slop. Let's move on. Let's just move on. I mean, it is already gone nine, so should we just move on at this point to on this day in history, do that bit, and I can do the Rumble rants and Super Chats, yeah? Or one super quick thing to say is I love dogs. Much more of a dog person than a cat person. Grew up with dogs. If I didn't have to work and owned a load of land, I would have a pack of dogs. I'd have 10 dogs, maybe more. Love dogs. All right. So just real quick to say, if you're feeding your dog a product called All Provide Holistic Pet Food Gently Cooked Chicken Recipe for Dogs, stop feeding it to it. It might have plastic in it. It's not going to be good for the dog. It probably won't, but it might have bits of plastic in it. That's all. Oh, well, there's a little Jack Russell in it. Little Jack Russell. Oh, look at him. What a good boy. All right. All right, let's move on this day in history. You guys like that bit. I like that bit. On this day in history, the May the 25th, down through the centuries, what happened of note? Let's have a look. I read this earlier in the morning before the Bow Show started. Wasn't a great day. Wasn't a fantastic set of factoids today, but we'll go through them anyway. All right, on this day in 1720, the ship Grand Saint Antoine, or is it Grand Saint Antoine, reaches Marseille, bringing Europe's last major outbreak of bubonic plague, which kills around 100,000 people. 1720. Bubonic plague. The accounts, if you ever read the accounts from like the Black Death or any plague outbreak, the actual accounts of what it does to the human body. Grimm doesn't really cover it. Terrible, terrible thing. These days, certainly if you catch it early enough, you can just take antibiotics. It's just a bacterial, I say just, it's a bacterial infection, basically. If you're not already weakened by loads of other different illnesses and diseases, if you're relatively healthy, antibiotics will sort it out. Millions and millions of people have died of it. Ugh, 1720, last big outbreak of it. There you go. All right, on this day in 1810, in the May Revolution, citizens of Buenos Aires expel Spanish Viceroy Cisneros, I don't know how you pronounce that, during Semana de Mayo. Don't know a great deal. I know a little bit about it, but I don't know a great deal about that. I mean, well, Argentina got their independence from Spain in what? 1815, 1816, 1817, something like that. So this is a few years before that. And they expel the Spanish Viceroy. They don't actually get their full independence for a few more years. I've threatened, haven't I, before, to do some long-form content all about Simon Bolivar, because obviously that's Bolivia, but Simon Bolivar went all round South America, getting involved in all sorts of... I must do Simon Bolivar stuff soon. All right, I'm still doing Henry VIII. I've got to finish my Henry VIII series, at least. I've started, so I'll finish. All right, on this day in 1914, British House of Commons passes the Irish Home Rule Bill. We've mentioned that a few times before, haven't we? Yeah, seems late. It always seems late to me when you realise that. If it was a century before, it was overdue. I've said that a number of times. I stand by that as an opinion. If we passed the Irish Home Rule in 1814, that would have been overdue. All right, there you go. On this day in 1942, first commercial fluid catalytic cracking facility begins production at Exxon. That's fracking. That's what fracking is. 1942. Developed by the Four Horsemen research team at Exxon. The process now produces half of the world's gasoline. I think it's funny. Some Americans call it gasoline. I just think that's funny. Fracking. Thing is, it's only really been sort of commercially viable in recent times, like in the last 15, 20 years. Sure, 1942 was the first time they did it, but it was to actually do it on a vast industrial scale and make a profit out of it. That's something else, isn't it? That's something completely different. Like, you can go to the moon, but it's a whole different thing to make it profitable to go to the moon. It will be a whole different thing, right? You get it. Okay, fracking, 1942, there you go. Much earlier than most people would have guessed. Okay, on this day in 1961, JFK announces the US goal of putting a man on the moon before the end of the decade. We plan to go to the moon and do the other things. Mayor Quimby, sorry. I was doing my Mayor Quimby. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Yeah, great thing. A lot of people don't believe we went to the moon, do they? Anyway, JFK first announces that in 1961. All right. About 2.5 years later, he gets his head blown off, doesn't he, in Dealey Plaza. I was being shot from the front because the doctors at Parkland Hospital said he had a giant exit wound in the back of his head, a baseball-sized exit wound in the back of his head. The autopsy pictures don't show that, though. Something very strange went on there then, didn't it? All right. I've got content and articles writing about that. All right. On this day in 2020, video of African-American George Floyd's arrest and murder while restrained in Minneapolis police custody shows he was pinned to the ground by police officer Derek Chauvin's knee for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, igniting widespread condemnation and nationwide protests. It's funny, I've watched a lot of MMA fights. All different types of martial arts. Never seen anyone choke anyone else out with a knee to the back of the neck. Never, ever, ever seen that. It's because it's not a thing. George Floyd's heart stopped because he'd taken an insane amount, he'd ingested an insane amount of opiate, whatever it was. What's the thing called? Fentanyl. He had loads of fentanyl on him when he was arrested, and to try and avoid that, he swallowed his own stash, a massive, massive amount of it, and that stopped his heart. Are those not the facts of the case? Those are the facts. Chauvin's knee on the back of his neck didn't stop his heart. Okay, on this day in 2021, US CDC says half of all US adults are now fully vaccinated, with 61% having had their first shot. Great. What was that shot? Because it wasn't a COVID vaccine, was it? It didn't vaccinate you. The idea that you get a breakthrough case, the idea that you get a vaccination for something and then you still get the thing, i.e. the thing, whatever it is, broke through the vaccine. Okay, that happens. That is possible for that to happen. It's extremely rare, though. Extremely, extremely rare. The idea that thousands or even millions of people can get quote-unquote vaccinated and then still get the thing means that that vaccine doesn't work. That it wasn't a vaccine for it, doesn't it? That's what that means. I never had it. I wouldn't dream of having it. What is that chemical you want to inject into me? What is in that syringe, really, really? So it doesn't seem to vaccinate people very well. Yeah, pass. Pass. Thanks. All right. That's what this website had for us today. Should we have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Shall I do this with my mic beam so I can see the left-hand side of my screen? Let's start with the Rumble Rants. Jack, could you get a little bit of oil on this so it doesn't squeak anymore at some point? Not top of the list, just at some point.
Sure thing.
There you go. You only have to ask. If you don't ask, you don't get, right? I could do it myself, couldn't I? Stop being lazy. I'm too much of a diva to go and get a little bit of WD-40 and just do it myself. I'm the talent. I don't do such things. Get some minion to do it. No, I could do it. I don't mind doing it. I'm not too proud. For real, I'm not too proud. I'll do it. Don't worry about it. Honestly, Jack, don't worry about it. I'll do it. I'll do it. Honestly. All right, who's in at number one? Who's in at number one? Global Church History. Reigning, defending, and still. Global Church History, in at number one. Couple of factoids. We've got, today in 1085, Leon and Castile completed the bloodless conquest, I might say reconquest, of Toledo. One of the few wars that had no injuries or deaths. Well, that does sort of start, some historians say, that's sort of one of the big main events at the beginning of the era of Reconquista, where Spanish people taking back the Iberian Peninsula, Spain, from the Moors, the North African Muslims. Good. It was one of the Alfonsos, wasn't it, if memory serves? Or Alfonso the Sixth, Alfonso the Fifth or Sixth? One of the Alfonsos retakes Toledo, or just besieged it and starved it out for a while until they were like, okay, like we're starving to death. Okay, we'll open the gates. Okay, we're done. We just need a bit of food, please. Global Church History. All right, Toledo, the reconquest, the reconquista of Toledo. And the other factoid you got for us, Global Church History says, on this day in 1622, John Brooke, was it Brooks? I thought it was Brooks. Anyway, John Brooke became the first Englishman in Australia. Yes, interesting. Yes, yeah, like the global, the Honourable East India Company sailing from west to east, because Captain Cook went round the Pacific, didn't he? Sort of Drake style. Captain Cook's much later than that. But Brooks, you've put Brooke. I thought it was Brooks anyway. Well, they played fast and loose with spelling, didn't they, in the 17th century? It's probably both. John Brooks. Of the East India Company, sailing through the Indian Ocean, around the bottom of Africa, through the Indian Ocean, he sights Australia. Did he even land there? I'm not sure if he even landed there, but he's certainly the first Englishman to sight it. Interesting. Okay, interesting. There you go. Thank you, Global Church History. Appreciate the grind of getting in early, nearly every day. He sent that in at 6:52 a.m., You've got to get up early in the morning to beat Global Church History, literally. All right, the next one. TF2 is better, says, I work nights, so without sleeping, I have watched TSOP and the real BBC. Oh, lovely. TSOP, which is the state of politics. Where's, what camera is it? Go to Disdain Cam. Jack. Back to Disdain Cam. Disdain Cam 1. Jack, there you go. Okay. Oh, there you go. All right. There you go. State politics. On my other channel I do with Nate. If you want us talking about reform stuff that's going on in reform. If you want us talking about stuff that's going on in reform, like that Scott Benson fellow and all that, that'll be on there later today. State politics. Check it out. State politics. Fallen Firebird says, I didn't despise reform before. However, all capitals, however, their dirty tactics since Restore. Twitter bot farms. The vicious boomer crash outs. The outright liars. The revealed Sivnat centro-leftism. F them. You don't put F, you put the actual swear word. F them. Yeah. A lot of the old Tory boy turned reform tard accounts just crashing out, but like melting down every single day, day after day. I find it quite, I find it amusing, if anything, quite amusing. It makes reform look terrible, I think. Well, I would have thought. They're crashing out over every time, like Jack Hadfield. What are you doing, mate? Spack Shatfield, more like. Fat Twatfield. Crashing out all day, every day about the every tiny little thing about Restore. Weird. Weird, bro. It's weird. All right. Fallen Firebird says, in the Fallen Firebird Empire, organising foreign criminals threatening my government agendas results in a harsh military reaction. We storm these places and hunt them down. Life sentences, deportations. Based. Based. Yeah. Johnny Logo says, I bet Nate has plenty of WD-40 for his car. Just ask him to send some over. Yeah, I believe we've got a little thing of it, a little thing in the office somewhere. I should just get it done. It'll take like 40 seconds to find that and do it. Yeah, I'm sure Nate's got all sorts of that stuff though. All right. Let's go to the YouTube ones. There's quite a lot of those of them this morning. There's got to be 20 odd or more. All right, let's whip through them a bit. It's already quarter past. All right, what have we got here? Erwin Romulus. Happy Empire Day to all for yesterday. Oh, cheers. Yeah, Empire Day used to be a thing. I bet a few Zoomers, younger people, never even heard of it. Yeah. Even when I was a kid, already it was like falling out of fashion. Empire Day used to be a big thing. People just celebrating their own country a bit. They haven't bought into the lie that the Empire was an entirely evil thing. Powers that be don't want that. You know what I mean? I'm not hate the Runnymede Trust. Don't celebrate Empire Day. Only a fascist would do something like that. Only an evil racist or something would do something like that. An evil colonizer. Don't worry about that. We brought the rule of law and literacy and all sorts of things to many of these countries. Don't worry about any of that. It was just evil. All right. Erwin Romulus again says, the Makerfield election just so happens to fall on Waterloo Day. Yeah, I believe it does. Yeah, what is that? The 18th, isn't it? Be sure to raise a sherry that morning to today's Fox. I think I've got long-form content all about the Battle of Waterloo. Yeah, more than once, actually. Got a long-form series about Napoleon, a 9-part series about Napoleon. And, of course, towards the end of that, perhaps the last episode of that, talking about Waterloo. And then got a series, I think a four-part series about the life and career of the Duke of Wellington, Arthur Wellesley. So talk about it again there. And I got a long form bit of content talking with The Critical Drinker all about the 1970 film Waterloo and breaking it down. And of course, in that, I talk all about the real history of that day as well. All behind the paywall, lotusseaters.com. Do consider signing up for it as £5 a month, bronze tier membership. It's all there. All right, yeah. And today's Fox, that's where Wellington offers a toast as though they're going fox hunting. Today's Fox is the French or Napoleon. Cheers a sherry to the day ahead. Very, very bloody battle. Okay. There you go. Kick You in the Throat says, that's their name, at Kick You in the Throat says, Jack's swarthy tones always welcome here. You've got swarthy tones, Jack, apparently. I didn't know that.
First I've heard of it.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Always welcome here. You are always welcome here. You're always welcome here. All right.
Today.
Today, yeah. It's little Harry's back tomorrow, though, right? Having said that.
Yep, he's back tomorrow as usual.
Okay. All right. Okay, the next one. Muscles Glacius says, great to meet you on Saturday in H-Town. Oh, right, yeah. Oh, is that the person I met at the weekend? At the weekend I met in real life, walking around in the wild. Met a super fan dude. I guess this you. It must be you. Yeah, it was nice to meet you. Nice to chat to you. Says, I'm sitting at work on this bank holiday, mug in hand, as per usual. Hopefully catch you around in the future. Yeah, so it happens sometimes. You know, you've got fans. Fans, IRL. No, he was a nice chap. It was nice to chat to you for a bit. Yeah. I hope you have a good day. Hope you can get out and enjoy the sunshine a bit. If you can. All right. Next one, Peter J 2518 says, more likely UK intel behind release of Farage info. Maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe that world of espionage and counter espionage, to state the obvious, is extremely murky, isn't it? By definition, it's crazily murky. I'm fascinated by spies and spy stories and espionage and counter-espionage. I've talked about it various times, haven't I? I'm fascinated by the Cold War shenanigans. And I don't know, of course I don't know, but you may well be right. It's UK intelligence actually behind it. And they go somehow muddy the waters enough and make it seem like and suggest that it's the Russians doing it. Yeah, wouldn't be surprised at all. Classic stuff. Classic shenanigans. All right, the next one. Mark of Reality. At Mark of Reality gives a fair bit of money there, so I appreciate that. Thank you for that. You say, the deal with Iran is going to be true of the Iranians who want to end the war, but the IRGC will be against it, moving in UN inspectors to dig up uranium. Could be a pretext to let the CIA in to distribute weapons. Quite possibly. Who knows? I think the first bit you've said there is just definitely sort of true. The IRGC won't like it, or they'll be against it, or they'll fight tooth and nail to never let that happen in the first place. Right. But then are UN inspectors, IAEA inspectors, actually a cover for loads of other stuff happening? Maybe. Possibly. Again, it's a very, very sort of murky world, isn't it? Military intelligence. Very murky. All right, thanks for the super chat. Something Wickedly, Shona Superfan says, I wish Uncle Vlad would pay me. Yeah, we're accused of... Carl's joked about this before, so I feel like I will. We're accused of being Putin shills. Like, yeah, we wish... The margins here aren't so great. We don't need a few million extra pound. No, joking, of course. Joking, of course. All right. LJNV says, Bo, you magnificent man. Thank you. I appreciate it. I know how to take a compliment. Magnificent man. Thank you. Potential Iranian peace always seems to happen before the market opens. And then you do one of those emojis. That is interesting, isn't it? How Trump and his Truth Social stuff is trying to manage the markets as best possible. Yeah. But it's in the news today all about, maybe I'll report it tomorrow or go at some point going forward, that the amount of trading that's coming out of Trump and Trump adjacent people that just so happens to be, you know, the correct view of how the markets is just about to move is remarkable. You know what Trump's about to do or say, what the White House or the Pentagon or the State Department are just about to do. The rest of the world don't know it yet. And you do something in the markets, which just so happens to be the ideal move. But that's going on quite a large scale at the moment. Yeah, you're right. Okay, another one from Shona says, Farage, you need to stop that. Rupert don't care. Right, yeah, just trying to say Restore is like a one-man show and a social media account, yeah. That's his angle though at the moment, that's what he's saying. Muscles Glacius again says, Restore are the most articulate and palatable, ! Yeah, I believe so. There's something unpalatable about reform. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I've just got my reformed arrangement syndrome is making me say that. But I don't think so. I think a lot of people feel like there's something unpalatable. You know, some people say Nigel's got this aura about him. I don't really see it. I don't really see that. But like restorer, like in the ascendancy, destined for government. I don't think so. Not necessarily. A lot of it is unpalatable. Like Nadine Dorries, like Zia Yusuf. You want him, really? Really? Suella Braverman. Like, she's palatable. She's not palatable. Ugh. Okay, Shona again says, Lelia is a female Sadiq. Yeah. Lelia Cunningham and Mohammed Sadiq Khan. Yeah. Yeah, she's just a female version of him, isn't she? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. Effectively an Islamist. Some sort of Islamist, effectively. Against the interests of this country, in my opinion, and Londoners. Yeah. Okay, Shona again says, Keir, who pro bono defended child murderers. Oh, right. Oh, okay. When before, earlier in his career, when he was a barrister. Was he a barrister before he was at the CPS? Was he an actual barrister? But yeah, defended some terrible people. Made some, in hindsight, what looks like crazy decisions about who he would or who he wouldn't help legally. Yeah, crazy. Erwin Romulus says, protest at Portswood Police Station in Southampton. 12:30 this Sunday. Anyone from LE planning to go down to cover it? YouTube made me edit out the young man's name. I don't know. I'd not heard of this, and I'm afraid I don't make the calls on if and when we send someone out to do like Vox Populi stuff or go down somewhere with a mic and talk to people. I don't make those decisions. That would be Carl and a couple of other people, the more manager people. Again, I'm just a talent. I just turn up and talk about stuff on camera. I don't make any real business decisions. Well, I don't make any business decisions. I don't make thumbnails. Da, 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 da. So I'm not even aware of what that is exactly. And I couldn't tell you if we plan to send anyone. Maybe send that super chat into the main podcast today if Carl's on it. I don't even know if he is, but or just tweet at Carl on Twitter, maybe ask him that. That's the best I can do. All right. Thanks for the super chat, though. £10. Cheers. Appreciate it. Kick you in the throat again says, let's get Bo a new chair. The sight of those arms. Yeah, these chairs. Yeah. As if you're not careful, you bash them against this table, and over time, they get a little dinked up, don't they? Yeah. Yeah, we do need new chairs. We actually do. We've been talking about it for a while. Some of them are worse than others. We're not made of money. No, you're right. You're right. Well noticed. All right. Kick you in the throat again says, Anglosphere, fun fact. You have to combine the populations of California and Florida to match the population in England. Coruscant, England, where you can visit Scarfell Pike, touch the peak without climbing. Yeah, Coruscant, England. That's what some would have, isn't it? That the whole of England becomes one giant city, or at least suburbia. There's no green spaces left at all. That's what some would have. Some would say, what's the problem with that? Get used to it. Yeah, hate the idea. Hate it. But even at the top of Scarfell Pike, even Scarfell Pike, the top of it is just a council estate or something. Yeah, I know. I know. Horrible. All right. Shona again, something wickedly says, plague arriving every day now. Metaphorically. Or sometimes, actually, I think sometimes foreign people do bring crazy diseases with them, don't they, which we haven't had much before or for a long, long time, because they bring it from the third world with them, like monkeypox or plague or smallpox or whatever, various things. Gross. Thanks, Blair. Really rubbing our noses in diversity. Thanks, Blair. All right, Brandon Lucas 97, 9732 says, one lion for the moon, five lions for George Floyd. Harry, what do you think? Sorry, Jack. Call Jack Harry again. Jack, what do you think he means by that, that super chat? One line for the moon, five lines for George Floyd. What do you think he means?
Honestly, I haven't got a clue.
Oh. Sorry, again, when I don't get it, what people are saying in a super chat, I always feel like it's really obvious and I'm just being dumb. But I don't get exactly what you mean by that. This sort of the overall sentiment of it, I'm feeling, is good. And I feel like I would agree with what you're saying. I just don't know exactly what you mean. Sorry. Okay. All right. Brendan Lucas again says, or maybe you'll explain it here. It's the same person. Brendan Lucas says, Floyd likely ended African-Americans as a political force in the same way Margaret Stanger ended them as a demographic force. Yeah. Like the George Floyd thing happened, the BLM explosion thing happened, and then after that, support completely collapses. Yeah, maybe. Right. Maybe. And then the next one, there's only a couple left here, but the next one, again from Brendan Lucas, says Emirates, big country to watch in the area. They are country who pissed off with both Saudi and Iran and have endless money for defence. Yeah, well, I mean, the Emirates are very, very rich, or the biggest two are. Abu Dhabi and Dubai are, aren't they? There's other five? Not so much, but yeah. Sort of endless money while their oil lasts, which is set to last for a long time. Yeah, well, relatively long time. Yeah, if you were one of those emirs in the Emirates, you would fear and loathe, or at least at the very least be suspicious of, both Saudi Arabia and Iran, wouldn't you? Yeah. Both of those would ideally want you gone in an ideal world, you would have thought. Okay. F Google 2, the name is a bit more than just F Google, but F Google 2 says, and thank you, you give lots of super chats, I appreciate it, I've noticed. F Google 2 says, have you taken a breath to reflect all the history going on right now? Who will be the heroes and villains? Good question. Yeah, I mean, I often think about how we're living through history. Or rather, history never stops. Right? And that, yeah. It's really, really powerful when something big happens. I remember on the day of 9/11, you couldn't help but feel this is a historic day. That something that will go down in history happened today. You watch it play out in real time. When something like that happens, you can't ignore it. You can't deny it. But actually, it's every day. Yeah? It really is. Actually, it's constant. We are history. We live through history constantly. It doesn't feel like it, though, does it? It doesn't feel like it. But of course we are. Of course we are. Of course that's the way it works. Who are the heroes and who are the villains? Ah, well, that's the eternal question, isn't it? That's the eternal question. Could spend hours talking about that question from a dozen different angles. Haven't got time this morning, I'm afraid. It's a great history nerds question, though. Get a few history nerds down the pub of an evening. Just give them that one question. Let them go. That's the whole evening. All right. Brendan, a couple more have come in, so I'll read them. Pardon me. Brendan Lucas says, you're explaining where you said one line for the moon, five lines for George Floyd, and you've said it was a reference to the lines in this day in history. Oh, I see. Right. I see what you mean. Yeah. Yeah. That website on this day in history. I get it now. Yeah. They'll give one line to JFK and the moon. Oh, and JFK sent us to the moon. But George Floyd, we'll write a whole essay about George Floyd, because that's way more important. It's five times more important than that. I get it now. Sorry. I get exactly what you mean. It was kind of obvious, wasn't it? It was pretty clear. I'm just being... All right. Yeah. That website, as sort of lefty-leaning and a bit weird and a little bit subversive as it is, it's actually the best one I've ever found. There are a few different websites that do exactly this, and out of those, this is the best one. The others are like even lamer, even more sort of subversive and lefty. Anti-Western, anti-white. So this is the best one. And I do like doing the section at the end of the show, so I have to keep it. It's a good point, yeah. 1 line about the moon, 5 about George Floyd. God. All right. And the last one here for today from Dusty One Time. At Dusty One Time says, Patriot. That's it, just Patriot. Well, thank you, sir. Thank you. All right, that's it. That is the show. It is now 34 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime, on Monday the 25th of May in the year of our Lord, 2026. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it isn't a thing. My glorious band, The Chosen Few, my band of brothers and sisters, basically the best people in the world, watching The Bow Show live. People of impeccable taste. Impeccable taste. Try and make the best of their head. Hopefully you're not working. It's a bank holiday. Hopefully you're not working. Try and enjoy the sunshine. Don't get burnt. Yeah, use a little bit of suntan, like sunscreen if you need to. Be careful. But enjoy the heat, right? Should be a lovely day. Should be a real scorcher. Try and make the best of the time if you can. You know? All right. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Until then, take care.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money.